go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for block four of our hour-long conversation with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He is, as I've mentioned several times, the author of a best-selling book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, a professor at the Marine Corps University, an instructor of military and intelligence and law enforcement personnel across the country, thank God. He is an active contributor to the public policy debate. We're always delighted to have him here. Seb, one of the books that you've also contributed to with your wife, Catherine Gorka, is Fighting the Ideological War, Winning Strategies from Communism to Islamism. And I want to get back in the last block to what do we do about all this, but just if you would, tease out the similarities between the ideology of communism and the role that it played in the global communist movement, if you will, and that we're seeing, I think best called the Sharia, but whatever it's called, that is animating the global jihadist movement today.
Yes, so here there's a fascinating parallel, and this is really the foundation of my book, Defeating Jihad, because I use our Cold War experience to inform how we should defeat the jihadists today. And we just look at amazing parallels. So both communism and Islamism or jihadism or whatever we wish to call it are totalitarian ideologies. They are predicated on an absolutist stance, and they must be victorious over the whole earth. It is a them or us policy. It is exploiting constantly conspiratorial means, and it brooks no compromise. It's very important for our listeners to appreciate these are not individuals who can be negotiated with, and whether it's Khrushchev or whether it's Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, either they will crush us or we will crush them. Those only two scenarios. And yes, you know, one of them is transcendentally informed in that it has a religious narrative. But I love to quote the famous Hungarian former communist and then a warrior for freedom, Arthur Koestler, who penned the phrase communism, the godless religion, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. In its absolutist attitude, both of these ideologies are an existential threat to the United States, and therefore the similarities are far closer than the differences.
I've come up with a sort of variation on the theme. If communism was a godless religion, we are dealing with a sort of communism with a god in the Islamic traditions of Sharia. And Seb, turning to another point, and in a way it's doubling back to some of the conversation we've had already about the Muslim Brotherhood and these Islamic supremacists who are not currently engaged, or not believed to be at least engaged in the violent jihad. Talk a little, if you would, about the role beyond the influence operations, and those are troubling enough, especially given the success they've had over 50 years in the United States government. But specifically, I'm thinking about the role that the Brotherhood and its friends have played in building out a kind of infrastructure across America, as well as elsewhere in the West, and the tie-ins between that infrastructure and the violent jihads.
Yes, so you've done legendary work in uncovering the network that was first unveiled in the Holy Land Foundation trial. And there, the appendix which lists the unindicted co-conspirators, I think, runs to, 30-plus organizations. So there's front organizations for the Brotherhood that have been established here decades ago. But this isn't just a problem for America. It's a global one. The Brotherhood is present everywhere. It has its front organizations in the Middle East, where it was founded, Egypt, Jordan, where have you. It has political parties that are the front political activists, if you will. And then it has its connections to the terrorists. And here, you don't have to be conspiratorial or, you know, put your tinfoil hat on. Just look at the unclassified biographical data of every leading jihadist of the last 20 years, whether it's Osama bin Laden, whether it's the head of al-Qaeda today, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Pick any jihadi terrorist of the kinetic variety, and what will you find? The beginnings of their career began as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. As Tom Joslin, the wonderful author at the Long War Journal, has testified before Congress, the Muslim Brotherhood is the gateway drug to jihad. And he's absolutely right, Frank.
What I'm interested in beyond that, and I think that's certainly true, is, and again, let's emphasize, this is not true of all Muslims, nor is it true of all mosques in this country. But in your professional judgment, Seb Gorka, is it likely to be the case that mosques founded by one of the organizations you mentioned that were identified in that explanatory memorandum introduced into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the North American Islamic Trust, may well be playing a role akin to the ones that the French and the Belgian governments have recently tumbled to as they've gone in and raided mosques in those countries, namely that they are not simply houses of worship, but they're training grounds, they are recruitment facilities, they may even be used to arm jihadists, arsenals in their basement, for example. Is that possible here as well, do you think? And should that be of concern to law enforcement and, well, for that matter, the rest of us?
Well, nothing's out of the question. If you talk to our veterans who came back from Iraq, we know that the mosques were used as arms depots. You know, they knew that they were safe, and as a result, they used them as epicenters for terrorist activity. We've seen in the last 15 years, mosques play a crucial part in the recruitment and the further indoctrination of jihadis. If you look at the Finsbury Park Mosque with regards to the Richard Reid, the shoe bomber, all the way down to Anwar al-Awlaki and to the Boston bombers. Of course, you know, the majority of Muslims, as far as I'm concerned, in America are here because they believe in the Constitution, and we have them in the armed forces, I've been in the FBI. But the fact is, there is a huge issue, especially with those imams who are trained in the Wahhabi or Salafist tradition. If you look at an imam's background, if they were trained in Cairo or they were trained in Pakistan, there's a huge difference between them. If they were trained by the Wahhabists of Saudi Arabia, as opposed to a more liberal version in Cairo, then that should make eyebrows be raised, because the imam is the filter of the Quran. And if he has a Wahhabist interpretation, we may have a significant problem.
Some would call it a Wahhabist interpretation. Some would say it's simply the authoritative rendering of the faith according to Sharia. But whatever terminology you wish to use, it is widespread for sure. And most especially, it is being promoted aggressively by the Muslim Brotherhood, which has, as you said earlier, Seb Gorka, exactly the same objectives, imposing Sharia worldwide and creating the caliphate that is shared by these various other violent groups, including, by the way, it should be said, those of the Shiite tradition, too. We haven't talked really about Iran here, but is there a dime's worth of difference, really, between the Islamic supremacism of the Sunni community and that of the Shiites, led by Iran?
There are differences in terms of detail, especially their apocalyptic visions are not the same. But you know, to quote Bibi Netanyahu when he addressed Congress, I mean, he absolutely nailed it when he said, look, to understand the catastrophe that is the Middle East today, all you have to know is that it is a game of thrones for the crown of the caliphate. And he's absolutely right. We have the Sunni version of the religion, the extreme, the Sunnis, which Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and we have the violent theocratic Shiites, the mullahs of Iran, and both wish to have their caliphate extend across the earth. So there's not no significant difference in terms of what it means to us in terms of a threat, because both of them wish to see us dead or enslaved.
Yeah. Seb Gorka, we have one last block with you, I'm very pleased to say, coming up. We'll talk about the final jihad that seems to be impelling some of the worst of these jihadists at the moment, and what we're going to need to do to defeat it, to ensure that this is the winnable war. That and more with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.